Mountaintop experiences. Two stories of relatively normal everyday folk. Moses, Joshua, Peter, James, and John meeting God on a mountaintop. Passages like these are, I think, a trap for pastors. It would be easy this morning to get caught up in preaching about the need to not stay on the mountain, to consider the kind of understatement of Peter's good, it's good to be here, but the need to come down. You can't live life on the mountaintop. It'd be easy to take this passage and talk about the need to listen to the commandments that were given to Moses, to listen to what Jesus was teaching as the cloud admonished the disciples to do. Be easy also to maybe preach a sermon on how Jesus came and calmed the fears of the disciples as they were terrified and cowering on the ground. All of those themes are about us, however, about our response to God, our response to Jesus, our need for discipleship. And there's a day for those sermons, but I don't think that day is today. Today is about Jesus, about our encounters with the Lord, about the disciples going up with someone who they thought was a teacher, a healer, a preacher, the Messiah, the one coming to save Israel from the Jews or from the Romans, but encountering a different person. Somehow through that person, somehow on that mountain, God's glory shone on them in a way they never possibly could have imagined. Maybe you remember the first time you encountered Jesus. Well, I remember the first time, at least the first time I was aware that in this encounter, there was something divine. It was at summer camp. I think it used to be a lot of us experienced Jesus for the first time at summer camp. I don't think it was the last night, but maybe it was. Maybe it was the middle of the week. Maybe it was the first night. I'm not quite sure in my memory. But all of us at camp gathered around the campfire, and one of the counselors read from the Bible and talked to us about Jesus. And somehow in those moments, in looking at the glow of the fire and listening to the crackling of the wood, I encountered a Jesus that I had never encountered before. It was the first time I think I really glimpsed God's greatness on an emotional level. I had heard that God was great, but it was the first time that I really knew God was great. And there's been other moments in my life. On a hill at the Abbey of Gethsemane, reflecting over the statues of the disciples sleeping while Jesus was off in the distance praying. In an old-time revival-style meeting, singing gospel songs. At the birth of a child, standing on a hill overlooking a valley as the leaves were turning those bright and brilliant colors of autumn. Many of us have these kind of mountaintop moments. They're not moments of the head. They're not learning about Jesus. They're not studying the scriptures to see what Jesus did and what the scriptures may say about him. These are moments of the heart. These are moments that are a gift from God. You can't predict them. You can't control them. Someone asked how my time at the monastery was a couple of weeks ago, and I said it was good. Of course, whenever you go away to those thin places where God has God's glory has shone through before, you always come back hoping to feel like you're on this incredible high, on this mountaintop experience. But you can't control that. It was good. I wouldn't call it a mountaintop experience, because these moments can't be planned, they can't be staged, they can't be managed. But those mountaintop experiences are important. They are important because in those moments, we encounter Jesus in special ways, in ways we might not normally encounter the divine. For the disciples, the transfiguration showed them that Jesus wasn't just a miracle worker, wasn't just a social activist, wasn't just a great preacher, wasn't even one just to come and overthrow the Romans, but that somehow in this person that the disciples had grown to love, that the disciples had chosen to follow, that the disciples had listened to teach and watch do miracles, God was present in a way that they never possibly could have imagined. And that God was present, the same God that they knew who spoke creation out of nothing, the same God who made a great people out of an old man and an old woman, Abraham and Sarah, the same God who took a stammering brickmaker by the name of Moses, who had poor self-esteem, and turned him into the deliverer of God's people. The one who took the smallest and youngest of many sons and made him to be king over Israel. God, who was great, was shown to be present in Jesus in ways the disciples who could not possibly have imagined. The Christian life can't be sustained by emotions, by those glimpses of God, but they are important. Neither can the Christian life be void of those times where we glimpse God's glory, those times where God is so close we can feel it. That's the start of many of us for faith. It's those times where Jesus, much like he did with Thomas, gives us some proof that all the things we say we believe, all the things we hope to be true about Jesus are a reality. Things that we might not be able to prove with science, but that our spirits know to be true. I think one of the reasons we come here each Sunday is hoping to catch a glimpse of God, hoping to have our hearts strangely warmed, hoping in some ways to have one of those moments that knocks us on our knees and helps us to bury our face in our hands, because we cannot stand the presence of the one that we are in. Will Willimon talks about a friend of his that says, on any given Sunday, the church is filled with folks who, having once a long time ago felt the undeniable presence of God, and they come back longing for that fire, for that presence one more time. There are definitely days for persevering in the faith. Days for believing not because of the evidence, but in spite of it. Days for seeing the light of the end of the tunnel when you aren't even sure there is an end. Days for living in hope. But I don't believe today is a day to focus on us. I don't believe today is a day to focus on our need to believe, on our need to trust, on our need to obey. Today is a day to revel in the glory of God, to celebrate the wonder of a carpenter from Nazareth who turned itinerant miracle worker and preacher, who stood on a mountaintop a long time ago with two long thought dead heroes of the faith, shining like someone who was just dipped in a barrel of radioactive waste. It's the only image I could come up with to capture. Today is the day, amidst our doubts and our trials, in the middle of our failed attempts to follow Jesus, to simply stand and gaze in amazement at this one we call Lord. There aren't words to describe what we can see, but we try sometimes. We look at the one who is the Word of God come in the flesh, and we search for ways to describe our wonder. There's lots of ways that we've tried to capture the glory of Christ, this glory that we've encountered, this glory that we long for once again. Sometimes we refer to him as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The lily of the valley, that great and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 for my soul, the rose of Sharon, he's been called, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the light of the world, the Word of God, the Good Shepherd, the gate, the door, the vine, the great I Am, the Lamb of God, the friend that sticks closer than a brother, the bread of life, the stone the builders rejected, the way, the truth, the life, the very salvation of God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Chosen One. Someone just decided none of those words were sufficient and put into a song that Jesus was his all in all. And that's the one that we follow, that we love, that we worship. We come just to bask in the glory of that this morning. I never noticed till recently that not only did Jesus lead the disciples up the mountain, but he came back down the mountain with him. Yes, today we come seeking the presence of the Holy One, seeking to regain that glimpse of glory that we might have once had. But that is only part of the story. Because the real glory of this one that we worship this morning is the fact that as great as those mountaintop experiences are, even greater is the news that that one who shone with all of God's glory comes down the mountain with us and journeys with us and laughs with us and cries with us, sings with us and prays with us, serves with us and cries with us. We come this morning to worship the greatness of this one that we call Lord. But we also come to know that that same Lord, that same greatness, although so sometimes dimmed by this life, is with us each and every step of the way. And that's the beauty. That's the real glory of worshiping the Lord this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.